Thank you, Lord. We praise you for this wonderful time that we're in. Lord, we bring down, we break the power of all the principalities and powers in the air that are coming against true freedom in this United States. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for breaking their power. And we thank you, Father, for breaking the power of the enemy that's trying to stop the man-child anointing or anything else that that you want to get done. We know that we are your voice, and we praise you, Father, for bringing all of this action down. In fact, we break the power right now of Satan and all of his dominions from trying to stop the man-child anointing and the bride anointing and the things of God that are fixing to happen. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that your angels are out, your warrior angels are out there right now, bringing down all the enemy. In Jesus' name, and we praise you, Father, that road has been cleared to get this thing going. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, we ask and we pray that you get all your elect out of harm's way of any kind of action, physical action against. Wherever they are, and we praise you, Father, for doing that, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because we're going to be listening to you. We're going to be guided by you, Lord. We have our ears, our spiritual ears open to listen and to understand the things that you tell us, Lord. And we praise you, we glorify you for all the work that you're doing, Lord. We thank you for great communications tonight. We send the angels out there right now to make sure everybody gets a good connection that comes on in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the work that even now is going on to ensure that this movement, revival, and all of that end time things that will benefit people like the revival and all of that goes forward, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for opening the gate, the floodgates of heaven, as they call it, upon your people. And we thank you, Father, for the tribulation that's coming to open the eyes of your elect that are in the prophetic religion that have bound them from the things of God. And I praise the Lord, my Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go forward tonight, talk about the things that you'd have us to talk about. Lead us and guide us, Lord. And set a watch before our lips that we confess only the good report in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. There's been a lot happening since the last time we met, hadn't it? Yeah, Missy.
In the midst of all that's been happening, one thing that I heard briefly that when Brandon was talking about on from last day's channel, YouTube channel, he was saying about different things. The Lord has shown him besides this, besides Trump attempted assassination. He mentioned about that the Lord had told him to pray for the Olympics, pray about the Olympics. So I'd like to do that because apparently, okay. You know, that's the perfect opportunity for a bunch of nefarious things going on. Yeah. Father, we just pray, send forth your angels in protection. They're in Paris, right? I think that's where they're at this year. In Paris, we ask you to send your angels. We send angels for protection upon all that and all false flag, all any kind of deep state or anything otherwise from no matter who it is. We just forbid any violence, any thing done whatsoever during the Olympics, Lord, to cause death or destruction or anything like that. Any criminality. We cast it all down in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for protecting all there in the name of Jesus. We forbid it and forbid it to be cause anything to go on to cause any kind of international disturbance or whatever between countries. In Jesus' name, praise you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Let it be a peaceful one, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else got a prayer? Did everybody get the email I sent out about praying with David? Okay, good. Good deal. All five of you. That's okay. One sends 1,000, two sends 10,000. How many would this be? Ooh, multiple multiplicities. Yeah. Well, Father God, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of frustrated, angry people in the United States. Lord God, it seems as though there's so much divisiveness that people are willing to do things that they normally wouldn't do. And God, we just we come against that divisive spirit, that factious spirit, and we break its power over this country in the name of Jesus. We bind you up right now in Jesus' name. There will be no more assassination attempts in Jesus' name. We declare and decree it by the blood of Jesus that there will be no more. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for rounding up all the bad guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Father, just thank you for just a second here. For whatever reason, these earphones. There we go. Anyway, Father, thank you for protecting President Trump in this incident, this assassination attempt. We thank you that your angels surround him. Thank you, Lord, that you are changing his heart. You're putting a new spirit in him to move this country where you want us to go, want this country to go. And Lord, we thank you that you are not limited to the authority structures that are in place. And the levels of jurisdiction that are in existence. For you utilize each and every one, and you come and go into those levels at will to do your will. And so I thank you, Lord, that you are giving us wisdom to see Lord, that we have been translated out of this earthly kingdom of and translated into your kingdom, the kingdom of the Most High. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would give us wisdom to navigate, to be sensitive to these levels of authority, and to be able to work through them, in them, under them, wherever you place us, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you that this nation and all of the nations of the world function in a certain level. We know that the spirits, the angels, and function, at least the demons, function at a level higher than the nations. But we know that you have called us, Lord, to function directly in your authority, in your name. So, Lord, I ask you to open up our eyes, open up our understanding, and bless us with the wisdom to cooperate with you, cooperate with the Holy Spirit in these next steps and in this process that you have us in. Thank you for your protection again for those that you are calling into leadership. We do take this time to bind those spirits that are even stirring now in trying to devise ways to overcome, to overtake, or to destroy, or to divide. We command them to that their attempts, their motivations, their actions be turned back upon themselves in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your protection, your guidance. We thank you for the direction that you've given us through the Holy Spirit. And we just trust you for continued guidance, continued protection as we walk through these dangerous waters, Lord. And so I just praise you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for what you're doing in me. And we just trust you for your continued direction in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Just going to add some more stuff. Father God, everyone was a real young person once. I ask, Father, that you put some sort of special protection upon these people who are young, that they be not misguided. I pray that the youth would look at the actual age of this person that has performed this, and that they would be guided into a more position toward God, because I know that lots of young people want to love God. And I pray, Father, that this would affect them too, not just to see how these spirits can infect young minds. All they ever had was this kind of structure that is very wrong in these days, Father, against your word, against your spirit, and against the life spirit of your blood, against your glory, Father. I pray, Father, that you do something special for the younger people, because they didn't get to see what we got to see through our lives. They're just coming into a place now where things are so much changed in this world. Changed beyond reason. Beyond even a person who would have any sort of sound consciousness of what a person is supposed to be like. I don't know what you could do, Father. I pray, Father, that you would work with the things that are out there, you know, some of the Christian movies maybe or something, Lord, that would draw these people ever closer to you and very quickly. Especially, Father, we ask for your grace and mercy for the calling of these people also. In Jesus' name I pray, for they have grown up into a different millennium time, and these new millennials are in much need of your help and guidance, Father. I ask, Father, that you would remember and help them and guide them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's already been done. Yeah. Did that 2 days ago. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we just thank you for fulfilling everything that we have prayed in the past and now. In Jesus' name, that the angels right now are going out and fulfilling these prayers. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for capturing the enemy and bringing justice to the United States and the world. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that that is even being done as we speak. Thank you, Lord, for placing in everybody's heart that's yours, Lord, to run after you with all their heart, that no distractions would be in the way of drawing nigh unto you and listening for your voice. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing that for all of your elect. And Anna is not having any more internet problems. In Jesus' name, we break that power that's trying to keep her from listening in. And we thank you, Father, that they have a clear channel right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon all political people that are in the right in Jesus' name, even those that are in the left. Father God, we ask that you bless him with true repentance. In Jesus' name. And the right too that are yours. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing George up there in Maine. My. I can't imagine a boy from Georgia living in Maine. That just don't compute, George. Praise be to God. All right, anybody else? I want to pray for all the women that are bearing children, even as we speak, that are in that process. Father God, I just, all of your elect, and I thank you, Father, for all these beautiful women that are bearing your children. And we praise you, Father, that all the pregnancies in the elect right now are going to be easy, going to be quick, and there's not going to be any problems. We speak nothing but grace upon them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your grace has wrapped them up and they are under your shield, Lord. And your shield is a shield of protection. And we praise you for that, for her and the baby and the family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of these wonderful ladies in Jesus' name. My. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to add to that. No pain.
Okay. No pain, yeah.
They're not under the curse. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Completely
no
healthy
pain.
Babies, quick labors.
Yep.
Quick delivery, quick recovery, perfect health, mamas and babies,
amen.
And daddies, and all their families. All their families, everyone in their families blessed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got anything on your heart that you'd like to share or would like to talk about tonight? Yeah, Pat.
for some reason, this has been coming back to me. And I think maybe it's because we're in right in the middle of the, you know, political, season here. And so I wanted to just actually wanted to, share what, excuse me, I'm struggling here trying to find my e-sword. Paula posted a scripture in today, Isaiah 11, I think it was 11:1, 11:2, 3, 4, around in there. And I got to reading that, and it, the Lord kind of just reinforced some things that he'd been showing me. And it's related to, I think, the man child, the bride. And it was kind of confirmation to me of, and I was in verse 11 of Isaiah 11:11. But before I read that, I wanted to, kind of describe, the Lord's kind of opened my eyes to, and the levels of jurisdiction. And I know that it sounds very dry, you know, is probably, I don't know, maybe sounds a little bit, you know, what good is this going to do to know about this or hear this or whatever? I don't know. But, I just trust the Lord will, maybe click some things in you all that he has in me. And today, as I was thinking about, again, this political season that we're in and, you know, candidates running and trying, you know, stirring up votes and, you know, stirring up people to get the vote out and that sort of thing. And it became, as I was thinking about it, I believe it's important for us to understand, what that is in the, the jurisdiction, how it connects to this process. And I guess let me just kind of cut to the chase. Generally, the nations of the world are under, they function in a jurisdiction of constitutions or law or a governing structure, maybe under a dictator or a leader or a president or whatever, but they're all governed by a certain law, like a constitution. And they all function in that shape, shall we say, jurisdiction of law, of constitutional law. But there's a higher jurisdiction above that. And some, you know, it's a common law or law merchant. One of them is described as law merchant. And this jurisdiction, which is above the nations, it's a higher jurisdiction, but it is not governed by, say, written documents or law. It's written by more or less oral agreements. And such as treaties that are, and this is how nations communicate and have relationships together. It's usually through trade agreements or agreements to, for one nation to do this in exchange for this or whatever. And, but it's not limited or governed by constitutions, which those nations are governed by. And one of the main jurisdiction above constitutional governments is called law merchant. It's the merchant, it's merchant law, or buying and selling and trading. And there's certain unwritten and agreements and knowing the way that this people respond and act, and nations respond and react to each other. And it's all based upon this higher jurisdiction. And again, it's hard to describe and hard to identify, because everything under the nations or under the countries of the world, their jurisdictions are more or less delineated or defined by their borders, their physical borders. But when you go up into this next realm of authority or jurisdiction, it's not defined by physical borders. It's defined by agreements. And so it makes it a little bit harder to discern or understand when one is functioning in that level of jurisdiction. The point, the reason I bring it up is that we have a system in the world today that is functioning more on the jurisdiction of law merchant, where, and just as a description, there are certain forces, people, groups that are functioning in accordance to agreements. And it may just be their agreements in their particular group. And that those agreements go out and affect other groups and other nations, shall we say. And one of the ways that they influence, control, or exert their will on, say, people, or say government officials in that are under the jurisdiction of a constitution, they can come in and influence by temptation or bribery or coercion, threatening, whatever it would be. And what happens is they subvert, if this person under the jurisdiction of the Constitution or under law is tempted and succumbs to that temptation, their allegiance now shifts over to to allegiance to that one that is controlling them or influencing them or supplying them or whatever. So in a sense, those individuals can appear as though they have allegiance to a constitution, but they really have allegiance to another entity, another power, or another form. And, excuse me, the reason I say this is because for centuries, this whole process has been taking place in the world, and it has created a system of government, and a lot of it we call the deep state type thing, but it is a system, a well-organized system of influence, bribery, and various other things that have usurped the authority of our governing officials in Washington and in the state capitals and all this, and it is widespread. And so knowing this, the general public here in the United States and in every country, they have their, you know, candidates running for president and all the various different candidates running and everything. And then we go to the polls in November and cast our vote and whatever it would be. And that these people, as well-meaning as they may be, they are entering in to a system that has been, and I will say, the beast, corruption of the beast. That system has been in place in our governing structures for centuries, for years and years and years. And they go there to try to change things. And more times than not, they become corrupted through temptation of some sort in that system, and then they become part of the beast system. So the reason I bring it up is that we have been called, we have been called not to live under the authority of that structure. Obviously, we've all been called and born and birthed into countries, and we have to learn to submit, and we do submit and obey the laws, the law. But we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness of this world, which covers all the jurisdictions, including the jurisdictions over the countries that utilize this system, and the system above. The system itself is not bad. It's the satanic use of this system, which uses it to pervert and corrupt our governing officials, so to speak. But we have been called above even that earthly jurisdiction that governs even over the nations, have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, sitting at the right hand of God, functioning in Christ, in his authority, in the name of Jesus. So we are not bound. We've been placed in certain levels of jurisdiction in the world, but we have not been bound or limited, or we haven't been shall we say, bound to function only at that level of jurisdiction. We have been set free in Christ to function above that. Above that is the heavenly jurisdiction. And it governs, Jesus governs over it all. So I just say that because there's, it hit me, and didn't hit me, I've studied it, and it's been in the back of my mind for a long, long time, that isn't it interesting that Esther, the bride, was brought into, as a queen, into a relationship of this one of these earthly jurisdictions. She was put in a place of influence and able to be used by God within that structure. Joseph, after God humbled him and sent him, he sent him into Egypt, and he, after going through prison and very many humbling experiences, God placed him into a position of authority, or into a place in a relationship in that earthly governing structure. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were literally taken as slaves, captives. And God, through his sovereign grace and will, put them in positions and places of influence within that governing structure at the time. And obviously we see many of the results of God placing people in those structures. So that is not to say that, I'm saying that we ought to, seek, or, you know, to be connected or into that structure, and you know, go out and knock on doors to get people to vote, and or whatever it would be, that whole political process. However, I believe important to understand that that is a level of jurisdiction that is functioning in the world today, in our world. And we have the ability to come and go and to relate to any level of that jurisdiction wherever the Lord chooses to exert that his influence. And to the end result that one day Jesus now is sitting at the right hand of God, tell his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. So there's something coming ahead of us. And there, I believe, is a process where the man child, the bride, or whatever is, and God is raising up the man child and the bride to start to dismantle the corruption that exists in these structures, and to do it in whatever way he should lead us to do it. In verse 11 of Isaiah 11, it says, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. I believe the first time was the cross, the resurrection, and the commandment he blessed the church to go out into all the world. And I believe the second time, after this deterioration of the word of God in the earth, after 2,000 years, that on the third day, he's going to recover and recover his remnant again for the second time, that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathos and from Cush and from Elam and Shinar and Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he will set up an ensign for the nations. And I believe that ensign, in my heart, I believe that that ensign for the nations is the demonstration of the real gospel. The ensign, the demonstration of the real gospel, which brings the presence of God into every situation that we face. And I think for the most part, the powerless gospel, modern gospel of today's church has lost its ensign. It's lost its demonstration of the real gospel, which brings Christ, God's glory into presence, into our presence. Anyway, Jesus will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And you start to pull them together into one body. The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And I apologize, I don't know what that verse, I can't make the connections as to what that even means. But verse 14, and they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west, and they shall despoil the children of the east. That I think the Lord is talking about here, they, I believe, is the body of Christ, his body, that will express and manifest that ensign for the nations. And it says, they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together they despoil the children of the east, and they shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And I believe this is the conquering of the body of Christ to start to take down, not only take down the corruption, that spirit of corruption that has covered the earth with its darkness, and the Lord will use his people to take that corruption down and neutralize it in the world. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, the pagan antichrist tongue that constantly assaults and and insults the standard and word of God, and the Lord will utterly destroy that tongue with his scorching wind. The truth says, I think in Hebrews somewhere, that he is a consuming fire, and his word will consume as it goes, and will he wave his hand over the river and will smite it into seven streams and cause men to march over dry shod. That seven streams, I got the picture of the seven spirits of God in, that you see in Revelation, the seven spirits of the churches. I believe he's going to raise up the churches in those days, and he's with a scorching wind will go through those churches, organized churches of the world today, and he will burn off the dross and raise up in his scorching wind of truth by the Holy Spirit. And there shall be, verse 16, there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. The Lord is going to reestablish the way of holiness, the highway of holiness that we've been taught about. And that highway of holiness, which will lead to Jerusalem. And that shall remain from Assyria, like as there was for Israel in the day that he come up out of the land of Egypt. So the job of the man child and the bride will be going in to these jurisdictions of the nations and bringing Christ into those structures and fighting the battles in the jurisdiction above and taking that beast down from above that jurisdiction. And those in that way start to dismantle that beast from that higher level of jurisdiction, which governs the nations now. And so I think it's important, at least, that we have an understanding or a perspective that of these levels of jurisdictions. The nations are being controlled. They're being controlled and influenced by that jurisdiction of law merchant above. When these, we just had here in, I think in Pennsylvania, I don't know if it's Pennsylvania or not, Mendez, a congressman or whatever, been convicted of 11 or 16 counts of bribery, and all of the charges that were brought against him, he was convicted guilty of every one of them. He has been a puppet of and controlled and influenced and bribed and taken by the powers that have usurped his allegiance to the Constitution and to the laws that govern our land, and it took his allegiance and it bought it with gold bars and dollars. And we have been called to utilize the forces of heaven at our disposal to take those beasts down, which affected that temptation on that man and those leaders in our country. And I think I believe we have a responsibility that to protect, to cover these leaders, these people that are being elected to these positions and protect them as they're going into the big belly of the beast, so to speak, and protect them so that they are not influenced, tempted, destroyed and corrupted in that system. I believe we've been called to take that system down, but by utilizing the powers which are far above and beyond those ones that are influencing the nations of the earth today. So I'm probably starting to repeat and ramble, but anyway, that was what was on my heart. So I'll shut up.
No, you're right on target. Matter of fact, that's exactly what we should be doing right now, as David so aptly put it, as I sent that email out, bringing them down, bringing down the deep state, bringing down all the powers that be that have corrupted this country in ways that looks like the Mendez guy. He's not the only one. There's a bunch more. But Lord, we just thank you right now. We pray that the arms of the wicked be broken in Jesus' name. And we pray that the kingdoms of darkness be exposed and broken right now in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, that the foundations of the wicked be broken to no repair in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We break the yoke off of every neck, and all the bonds that are on your elect be broken right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that they're going to come out of the apostate religions in Jesus' name. And not only that, that the government will straighten out and be led by a good Christian guy in Jesus' name. And I believe, Lord, that you're doing that with Trump right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. We cast out, we bind up, we cast out all spirits of paranoia, suspicion, distrust, persecution, confrontation, and fear in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for cleaning up your churches. We thank you, Father, for giving us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And I bind to cast out all spirits of hatred, resentment, violence, murder, unforgiveness, anger, and retaliation in the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus, glory to God. And I bind to cast out all roots of bitterness right now in the name of Jesus out of this country, out of this world, in Jesus' name. And I could do that because God has given us authority, hasn't he? And everybody agrees with me. And if you agree with me, it's being done even as we speak right now in Jesus' name. I bind and cast out all spirits of self-delusion, self-deception, and self-seduction in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise be to God forevermore. We thank you for cleaning up the church and the government, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Anybody else want to pray? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Father, for your cleansing power breaking through right now through your churches, through your people, through your elect. And we thank you, Father, for raising up men of God with backbones to speak only the truth. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for speaking only as an oracle of you. In love, Father God, and we thank you that that love is going to be the bright light that brings a lot of people in to the kingdom in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
All right, Michael, you got me fired up.
Okay, good.
You called me out when I was, like George Washington, I could not tell a lie. I did chop down that cherry tree. My neighbor had a kid who borrowed his mom's truck and ran over a cherry tree in the neighborhood. And my neighbor called me and asked if I wanted it. So I chopped that sucker up earlier and was at a monstrosity of a trailer full of wood coming down the road,
Wow.
and got overheated and jumped in the pool, and I had my little UBM Bible study on top of a bucket out there by the pool, and Michael's provoking me. I couldn't reach over and get to the phone. I'm like, oh boy, I'm gonna get you. So anyway, I just wanted to plant a seed and a vision that every one of us is running a campaign since we're in the election cycle, whatever you want to call it. Every one of us is planting our campaign poster out on the property, and demons can't yank it up. They can't throw nothing at it. It's just like whenever somebody run to get one of Trump's sign and they get shocked when they touch it. That's what's going to happen to the enemy when we run our campaign. Because every year we are the elect, and it's blatant that this year, I mean, I'm talking as an American, but everybody's aware of our politics, and it's blatantly obvious that our candidates are not running a campaign. They don't have any opposition, they don't have debates, they don't have contenders. They're just moving along like everybody can believe that this is an actual campaign and this is a race that they're running. And God told me, he's like, well, don't be too quick to take the beam out of your eye, 'cause are you running? And that's what I'm asking everybody. Are we running? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, is running our race. And if we think about it just a little bit and give God our imagination, of what are we capable of, we who have been given so much at this time in Earth's history, what are we capable of for the gospel of Jesus Christ in a day's time, in a month's time, in a year's time, in a lifetime? What can we do for the kingdom? And it ain't got to be ambitious as much as it is obedient. And I just think that, if we see ourselves as running, and we know that God's already elected us and placed us in heavenly places, and we think of what Jesus had available but didn't set in motion. He said, if I ask my Father, he could give me 12 legions of angels to come and do battle. Well, when do we want to see that in action? Are we going to wait for somebody else to ask the Father for him? Are we going to ask the Father for him? How many legions will he give us? He might say 12. Why not 24? Is it a problem for us to torment demons before their time? They knew who Jesus was, and they knew who Paul was, and they know who we are. Can we torment them before their time? Can we go ahead and turn these people who have sold their souls, who are supposed to be in the body of Christ, but they've sold their souls to the devil, or they're in entertainment, or they've come from a heritage, but they've sold out? Can we turn them over to the devil to save their soul but destroy their flesh, and let the world see what allegiance to the enemy will get you? That he pays a hard wage, but the world's not seeing it. The world's seeing something different, and they glorify that. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to expose the enemy's wages and how he pays his people, and for that jealousy, that city on the hill, these light-filled beings of Jesus Christ to make the world jealous of the peace and the power and the authority and the favor and everything that we have, It's time for us to shine. It's time for us to have those lampros and lucros garments placed on us and to walk in them. I think about the first church when they were ready to go out, or maybe not even ready, but they didn't ask for mantles and anointings and equipping and favor, which all of those are good, but they asked for boldness. And if we believe that we've got everything that God has for us to walk in, and all we need is boldness, then we can quit worrying about, are we ready yet? Lord, are you going to go with us? He's saying, go with you. Where are you going? Where are we going? You ain't taking me nowhere yet. Let's go. He is ready to go. Two-thirds of God is go, and he's ready, and there's a ripe harvest, and we need to test it. We need to go ahead and try to see, are we watering? Are we shining light? Or are we reaping? And the harvest belongs to the Lord. The failure can belong to us, but we can attempt to put God on the spot and bring glory to his name and take a chance of our flesh feeling some embarrassment and discomfort. And I'm preaching to myself, but I hope I'm provoking my brothers and sisters to good works. And I think that's all I got. I love you all.
Yeah, we love you too, George. That's great. Absolutely. We need to be doing that. Glory to God. That's our job. That's our job. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Anybody want to pray? A good, solid, go get them type prayer. I want to pray one. I break down right now every wall erected by the enemy against the man-child ministry, the bride ministry, and God's elect in Jesus' name that would try to hinder this great happening from going on forward. In Jesus' name, we bind you up and cast you out the way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that this is going to go through very quickly in Jesus' mighty name. Anybody else? One more. Y'all mind if I go one more? Lord, I just pray that every word out of everybody's mouth that prays is like a great big sledgehammer that breaks the rocks in pieces of the enemies in Jesus' name, that it would be just like a demolition crew going through the enemy's camp in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Go, Andrew.
Father God, I come before you, and we are reminded of what it says in your word, that you magnify your word above your name, Father. You will lead us in this magnification of your word in us through the name of Jesus Christ, who we are a part of. You, Lord, will give us the glory and the light to shine for you, Father. Shine for this new life. This new life, and for other people to also attain their beginnings in life. Father God, in Jesus' name I pray, we believe, we have faith, we have a narrative for believing, a narrative for faith, and we will worship. We worship you, Father. We worship this word you put above your name also. We worship, hallowed be thy name, Father God, for you are our God. You speak and it happens. We worship you in spirit and truth. This is what we believe. This is, we have faith in Jesus Christ. Praise and glory to God.
I say amen and amen to that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Anybody else? The enemy's still walking around out there. I'm just saying. Go, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Lord, thank you. We don't have to fight. We just like people in the Old Testament, Lord. We can just sing your praises because the victory is already won. We got the victory. We have seen the price that's been paid. You can go out and triumph. Praise your name. Glorify your name because you've already won. Blessed be your name, our Lord Most High. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Satan, you're destroyed. I don't know if you read the end of the book, but you're gone. You are gone in Jesus' name. We close all breaches in our lives that would give Satan any kind of access to us at all in Jesus' name. We cover it with the blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name, all of your elect. And we thank you for your shield that quenches all the fire darts thrown at us, Lord. And we praise you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I like to read something. And I declare this is happening. And it's done. Because, okay, you know, Satan's already defeated by Jesus at the cross. But mm-hmm. This is Revelation 12, starting in verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. We send forth Michael and his angels to fight the dragon. He is mm-hmm. fighting the dragon. Praise you, Lord. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. We declare the victory. Praise you, Jesus. The great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Praise you. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, it is done. It is written. It is finished. You see the end from the beginning. Praise you. Hallelujah. Satan and his minions are cast down by Michael and his angels has cast down Satan and his minions and his demons and all that work with him are cast down to the earth. They can no longer accuse us in the name of Jesus. They are defeated. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. It is done. It is finished. Glory, hallelujah. And the man child is called up to the throne in Jesus' mighty name. No weapon formed against the man-child shall prosper in the name of Jesus or the bride. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for his anointing. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given us in Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Woohoo!
I wish you'd get fired up, Missy. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Amen, Lord. We just believe with her. Everything she prayed is happening, even as we speak right now. Lord of God. All right. Anyone else? I believe Satan's on the run. Yeah, Missy.
I'd just like to encourage everybody to read that and declare it every day.
Uh-oh, look at that face. Oh, my gracious. See, I need to take a picture of that. Oh, my gracious.
Oh, Satan doesn't like what I just said. What did I look like?
You look like Trump in that courtroom when
you looked like Trump when he was saying, yeah, when fight. He just after he got shot. I don't remember what he was saying. Fight, oh. Fight.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's what you were looking.
Did you hear what I said?
Oh, mostly.
Okay, well, let me repeat. I just suggest, encourage everybody read that every day and declare it. It is done until we see it with our eyes. Praise you, Lord.
Okay.
Until it manifests. Praise you, Lord.
All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Father God, I pray, just as your son, where they tried to confound him in his speech, and he asked, show me that coin. And he confounded them, Lord, and turned the tables. I pray, Lord, that you would give us this narrative, your narrative. It's on the tip of our tongue. It's in us because we believe that it is finished at the cross and resurrection. And you will give us this narrative and confound the enemies who come against us, even the enemies of religiosity. In Jesus' name, I pray, we will make that statement that was told and given to us, even in that Revelation chapter 12. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So thanks, Missy, for that. That's, I couldn't help but thinking, if you look at that and what I was talking about, the jurisdictions, and said, now is come the salvation, and the power. I'd have to look that up if that's dunamis or, no, it must be dunamis, because right after this says, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But then look at what it says next. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, that accuses them before the day and night. You know what? Where was that part? Oh, up above the next verse up. The deceiver, the great dragon, was cast down, the old serpent, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I have to ask the Lord, if that is casting down from the authority above it, down where he is functioning, down to the physical earth and dealing in the governments of the earth, and or exactly what. But it's just the connection there between salvation, power, authority, and the accuser being cast down, and just, you know, where is he being cast down from and to what? So anyway, it was just kind of stuck out at me at the time Missy was reading that. So,
okay. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to share a song. Here we go. It's going to pump you up too, so get ready. It'll bring you out to chairs. Let's see here. Uh-oh. What happened?
Riding on a cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Yes, yes, yes. So lift your of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he comes,
hey,
riding on a cloud,
yes,
shining like the sun, at the trumpet calls, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee,
and
our signs give salvation. The dry bones becoming is fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of prayer. And these are the days of the harvest, yes, Lord. The fields are as white in your word. Yes, and we are the laborers in your Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah.
Yeah.
California to declare tonight, Jesus, there's no God like Jehovah. Nobody. Nobody. Not Buddha. Nor Mahatma. Nor Sun Yung Moon. Nobody, 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 I want to pray one thing. Lord, I ask and I pray that you send Judy Jacobs up here to sing for us in Jesus' name. And she gets somebody fired up. I'm talking about. Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that was Benny Hinn behind back there, if y'all didn't notice. That was a young Benny Hinn. That must have been a long time ago. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share or pray? Well, I like that picture, Ben. That's good. That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. She needs to carry it on another 10 minutes, though. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yes, Anna.
Could I share a testimony, or would you like to keep this for prayer right now?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to share some things the Lord's done with my nieces, and hopefully it encourages somebody about their family. So when we left Washington almost 8 years ago, my nieces, it was Mallory. So there's Tasha. Some of you guys know Tasha. She's 15 now. And then Mallory's a year younger than her. She's 14. And then Mia, she's 11. And so Tasha and Mia was just a little thing when we left. And I really wasn't close to her, didn't see her a lot. But I spent so much time with Tasha and Mallory. They were like 6 and 7-ish when we left. And I baptized them right before we left. And I just spent so much time teaching them the word and praying with them and just pouring into them and explaining things to them. And, but then we left and I felt a little bit devastated about it when God sent us here. I was like, oh man, like there's nobody to help them. You know, they're just being thrown to the lions, you know, cause my sister's not saved, you know? And I was just like, oh man, like Lord, what are you doing? Like what, you know, who's going to take care of them kind of thing, as if the Lord couldn't do it. And, so a couple years ago, I sent them sent them each a New Testament. I had gone through and highlighted a bunch of stuff for both of them. And, but we haven't really had a whole lot of contact because for one thing, the time change and they're at school or I'm at meetings and it just never works out to FaceTime or talk very much. And so, and then of course, like I said, I wasn't close with Mia. And so anyways, Tasha came down for the summer and Tasha's been here. And, then my sister decided to drive across the country and come for a week with the other kids. And there was she's got three little kids with her husband that I hadn't only met once besides the older girls. And you would not know that Mia and I were not close. I mean, she's just so like as if I've always been her auntie in her life or something. And, boy, I was just so shocked. Like Mia didn't know anything hardly about the Lord. Like she didn't even know divorce was a sin. Like we were talking about different things. She's like, what? That's a sin? I was just like, how do you not know? And like, she's just so clueless about things. But Tasha and Mallory have just surprised me. The Lord has surprised me. I mean, they need some work, of course, but Mallory is seeking the Lord. She's been reading her Bible. She's been asking the Lord, like, Lord, I want to know you. Like, how do I be close to you? How do I hear your voice? And she got this dream from the Lord recently. And the Lord pointed out some things to her that she needed to do. She didn't say what they were, but he gave her some instruction. And, Tasha's been reading her Bible. And just, I was just amazed because if you could just see the house that they grow up in, that they live in on a daily basis, it's just a miracle. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, like, it's just so amazing what the Lord's done. And it wasn't me because I haven't been there. It wasn't anything I did. It was just the Lord, you know, being faithful to his word. And just, like I said, you know, they got some roughness around the edges, but just surprise, like just full of surprises. And Mallory was just asking questions. They wanted to know, you know, she had all these questions about everything and she wanted to know things. And it just shocked me because like they were here, they are seeking the Lord on their own. And I'm a little surprised that Mia was out there so clueless. She's like, do you think we'll see the tribulation in my lifetime? Like she didn't even know there was a tribulation. She's like, do you think it'll be in my lifetime? And, so she's asking a lot of questions too, but so that's good. But I don't know. I just want to praise the Lord. I'm just so in awe of how good the Lord is. Cause it's just all him, you know, there was nothing for them and nothing I did. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Anna. That's wonderful. That gives us all hope. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just lift up all of our families. I thank you, Lord, that you're already working in their lives because we have been praying, believing for them. And we praise you, Father, for bringing them all in this very short time ahead. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about or got any questions about? We still got time to go into the, what is it we're on, isn't it? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's do this. How would you tell how would you explain to someone what prayer is? Not the simple answer that you get in Sunday school. How would you tell them to, connect with the spiritual realm and to be sure that your prayers are answered? What would you say to someone? How would you explain to them? Would you say, well, you just go in there and you fold your hands like this and you bow your head? And what would you say? What do you do? Do you pray in tongues before you pray? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I think you have to take every individual as an individual and like their maturity level, how old they are, and maybe they're, you know, have to have some understanding of why they're asking you that. I mean, it's I don't think there's a cookie cutter way of doing it. I remember a particular brother in Christ. He was fairly new Christian. I think he got saved not that long before I met him. And we just struck up a conversation and, you know, just things started, you know, we just had a conversation and we talked about things. We shared about things, what had happened to him and that kind of thing. Well, he had a need. He had a couple of needs. You know, he had an injury and I asked him if I could pray for him. I asked him, has anyone prayed for you for that? And he said, no. And I said, and I asked him if I could pray for him and he said, yes, so I did. And then we were talking about some other things that, you know, he had a really, I'll say just kind of a real simple sheltered life. He was very computer illiterate. He didn't know how to do a lot of things. He'd never had like a cell phone before and he'd got one of those Obama phones apparently that he was given out at some point during that time. And, he wasn't sure really, you know, doesn't use it hardly. And, that kind of thing, but he wanted to know, you know, about, you know, computers. He was going to go to school and stuff. And I said, well, let's pray about it. Yeah, I said, can we pray about it? You know, and he said, well, how do you know? And he just asked me, he goes, well, he said, okay. And he wanted to pray and he started to pray. He goes, how do I address God? How do I address him? How do I start? I was just like, well, we can call him Father. That's what the Lord put in my heart. That just came out of my mouth is you can call him Father. So he humbly just prayed that prayer that the Lord, you know, would help him to get started, to get in the right computer classes, that he would learn how to do it, learn how to, you know, that just blessed me. He was just a really, he was so innocent and so, he had gone through a lot in life and just even how he got saved. He really had a traumatic experience and all that. So it was just a really neat opportunity. So, you know, it was just a real, you know, we can call him Father, but just, you know, I prayed first. So it's like sometimes it's going to be a demonstration on how to pray. So somebody might, you know, listen. That's kind of how I learned how to pray when, you know, not when I was a little kid. That's different. You know, I mean, I remember my dad, you know, saying prayers with my dad and, you know, now I lay me down to sleep prayer and, you know, that kind of thing at night. And so there's those prayers and there's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, you know, our Father who art in heaven, that prayer, you can use that prayer. I would guess I would encourage people to, if you see a prayer in the Bible, that's a good prayer. If you see something you need, that's a good prayer. But I think it, you know, just to simplify it based on what the situation is, it's like you're just going to God the Father and telling him your need. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Missy. You're right. It's an individual thing. Go ahead, Missy.
Julie,
I thought I was going to be able to get in what I was going to say, and then you kind of covered some of what I was going to say. So, but what came to me, what came to me was, is, you know, you said, what would you tell somebody how to pray? And what came to me was the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. You know, I would tell them to go to Matthew 6 and read that. And then, you know, Julie hit on this too. I was going to say the same thing, you know, just read the Bible, and anything you see there, just talk to God about it. Help, ask him to help you understand it, and talk to him about it and pray about it. And if there's this another thing came to me is, if you're struggling with something and you want to know what God thinks about it or whatever, look it up in the Bible. You know, do a search on, you know, on a Bible app, or even on the internet, you know, a search on what the, you know, whatever. And you know, because I know when I was a baby Christian, I was really struggling with something big time. And I just went to looking to see what God had to say about this, you know. So, I mean, that to me, I think is pretty simple way of, you know, just talk to God. He's right there. He's right there, you know. It doesn't have to be anything religious. Just talk to him like he's another human being. Jesus was human when he was on this earth. So just talk to him like he is there, but, you know, anyway.
Amen. Somebody had to have life, too, wasn't it? I saw that hand go up. Is that Ben? Oh. You have been exposed, brother.
Well,
everybody pointing at you, Ben.
You'd have to show them faith. They'd have to understand a level of faith in Mark 11 and 24. It says, believe that you've already received it. And so I'd show them that's past tense. And then I'd tell them, most people know this, Jesus said it's finished when he went to the cross. And so you need to consider petition that you're going to God for, that you've already received it. And then I'd probably bring them on to patience. So I'd probably show them that chapter in James about patience having its perfect, I think y'all know what I'm trying to say. You gotta start at like kind of the beginning of like the rudiments of faith. And you know, if you're patient in that faith, you just believe that you've received it, and you know, you may even forget about it, and then God'll answer the prayer anyways, and then remind you like, hey, you remember you asked me for that? And then anyways, there's just a level of faith that you need to show them. And by faith, you're saved through grace. And anyways, faith is involved with your prayer. Believe you've received it, and then consider it done. Praise God.
Yeah. And then what is it that you mentioned a while ago? You praise him after you pray, don't you? Yeah, you thank him for it and praise him for it. Amen. All right, anybody else got any more to add? What if, here's another one for you. What if you were awakened early in the morning by a loud voice like I was yesterday? And said, Michael, at 2:30 in the morning. Now, what would you do then? Yeah, Missy.
Who was it? David?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Davis. It wasn't Davis. Man, I was snoozing too. The Lord, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. I've heard that voice many times. It was the Lord, but it was really an audible voice. It sounded like to me like an audible voice. I was in deep sleep, boy. He woke me up and I jumped. I said, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." You know, but, I didn't know what he wanted me to pray for. So what would you do in that instance? Yeah. He's done that to me a number of times. I'll just tell you what I do. If I don't know exactly what to pray for, I'll get up and I'll pray in the spirit. I'll pray in the spirit until I get a release. That's what I do. It might not be for 30 minutes. It might be for an hour. It might be for 2 hours. I don't know. It just depends. If you're real sleepy, you're hoping it's going to be about 30, 40 minutes, you know, but sometimes it's not. Somebody might be in trouble and you don't know. I didn't know, but I found out later what it was. That's okay. That's what you do. You get up and you just pray in the spirit. If you don't know what to pray for, if you do know what to pray for, go ahead and pray against whatever it is. Right? Has anybody got any more additions to that? What do you do, Anna, when the Lord hollers, "Anna, get up and pray"?
Well, it's happened to me a few times where, you know, the Lord goes, "Anna," and it wakes me up because it's, you know, it's loud and it's audible. But yeah. Every time I say, "Okay, Lord, here I am," you know, like Samuel, "Here I am, you know, speak, I'm listening." And I have never heard anything. And I'm like, "Lord, like, what, am I missing something?" And it hasn't happened in probably a few years, probably. But I didn't realize before, I've come to realize since then, that, oh, maybe the Lord wanted me to pray. So I just sit there and listen until I fall asleep. I would just listen and see if the Lord had anything to say. But it was many years ago when the Lord taught me that about what you were saying, but not about him calling me in the night, but about like a heavy feeling. I would get these heavy feelings and I would just kind of suffer under them because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And then I don't know, at some point I realized, oh man, if I pray, especially like in the spirit, eventually this goes away. Maybe the Lord's trying to get my attention. But when the Lord hollers at me in the night, I've always just listened instead of doing the talking. But maybe I need to try praying next time and see if that makes a difference, because he's never said anything.
Yeah. Well, I have awakened when the Lord has said, "Michael," before, and just got up and got my notepad and a pen and sat over in my chair if I felt like that's what he wanted me to do, and then write down what he said. But most of the time it's just praying. Just praying or praying in the spirit. If he doesn't talk to me, I'll just pray in the spirit. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I think one of the very first times that he woke me up in the middle of the night like that, I was laying there and I just felt like he was saying, "Come sit and talk with me." So I got up and came out here in my living room and sat here in the chair and sat here and listened. And I really felt like I was supposed to pray in the spirit. So I did. And then that came to my mind. It's like, who am I praying for? And I heard the name, oh gosh, I can't remember now. Jill. I heard the name Jill. You're praying for Jill. I don't know who it was, but I was praying for Jill. And then there was another time where I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt like the Lord was saying to come out and read. He wanted me to read specific verses in the Bible. And that was in the middle of the night too. And I'm thinking, I want to get up. Okay, I'll get up. You know, so yeah, so that's two incidences where I know the Lord was telling me to get up and in the middle of the night and come talk with him and pray or sit there and read. And Yeah, so we just never know. So was that Samuel when he was a little boy, when he was under Elijah's care and he heard his name and he came and
I
you know
believe
heard
it
him
was.
with. Yeah. So here I am. Here I am.
Yeah.
Like three times, wasn't that? Three different times.
Here am I. Here am I.
So, sit and listen. That's good, though. You know, Anna, that's good. It's like, okay, I'm listening, Lord. I heard you say you call me. What is it you want? Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? How about you, Barbara? Hadn't heard from you tonight. Uh-oh, she's running back.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say.
Say, I love Jesus.
Well, I do love Jesus, but I just don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what to say, so I just don't say anything. I mean, I'm listening and everything.
Okay.
I mean, when he gets
That's
me
fine.
Up in the middle of the night, I just pray in the spirit. If I don't know what to pray, I just pray in the spirit. So,
mm-hmm.
or I'll say, Lord, give me words. Give me words what you want me to, you know, what to pray, because things just don't always come to me. So, that's all.
Okay, well, that's good. Thank you, Lord. All right. How about you, Josephus?
Michael, I was just trying to find out, well, I was reading my dream book because I want to say something, but I want to say what the Lord specifically said to me is one time. It's not exactly, but it sounds like is, do I have to give you a reason to wake up? I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it now. Because when it woke me up, and I asked him, Lord, there must be a reason why you wake me up. Well, that's what I was thinking. And he said, no, I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to try my book to see if you read it. But he says, do I have to give you a reason to wake you up? That wakes me seriously up and says, oh, Joe, yeah, all right. Thank you, Lord. Sorry. I apologize if I'm painting of us, Lord. You're God and I'm just your son and I'm learning. Thank you, Father. So I'll try to see if I can find it now. Exactly the words. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's right, Joe. That is exactly right. Does he have to give us a reason? No, we're just supposed to know that we're supposed to get up and be praying. Unless he tells you something else to do. Like walk down to the convenience store down there and pray for the, you know. Whatever. Go ahead, Missy.
That reminded me of something. Can I give a testimony? Something that Joe said prompted, do I got to give you a reason? It kind of made me think of something. I don't think I shared this at all. A couple months back or so, I had been listening to a Bible study and David was talking about the angels and that you know, we all have at least one angel and whatever, and they have names and blah, blah, blah. And there was just something, I don't remember what it was he said, but it really got me, really encouraged me and really got me. So I was walking in and I thought, I wonder what my angel's name is. And this came to my mind. And like, as it came to my mind, it came out of my mouth. And it was Muriel, Muriel. It was like I knew it was, and at first I was like, that sounds like Merle's name. And I'm like, I was like doubting that that was what I heard. And I'm like, what? And so I went and looked to see what it meant. And one meaning of it is bright sea, and one, and I think my favorite. Meaning, because it's related to myrrh, M Y R R H, I think, or whatever in the Greek. But it means another meaning is fragrance of God. Anyway, so I hadn't asked for a confirmation or anything like casting lots or anything like that, because I was going to ask David if he would ask the Lord about it for me when I went down to Tennessee. And I was telling Angelica about this, and she told me that when the whole angel thing started or whatever, that Eve had told everybody what their angel's name was and what the angel looked like. And I was like, oh, wow. So I was going to ask David to ask Eve when I got down there. So I asked him and to ask her, and I said, do you think we can do that? And I had him in the chair cutting his hair, so he had no choice. I had him in a position where he couldn't tell me no. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so then I asked him a couple days later or whatever. And so we were over at, Angelica and I were over at David Michael's eating lunch. I believe it was Monday. And so he must, after a little bit, he was off or whatever somewhere, and he came back, and so he told me that he asked Eve asked Eve, and she said she asked my angel what his name was, and he said to her, I don't have to tell you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, okay. Then what? See, and Alexa and Brandy were there, and Alexa sees angels all the time. And so I said, well, can you ask her to ask him if I was right? And Alexa says, well, I see him standing right there, and he's shaking his head yes. So I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then I was reading off what this one thing said about, you know, that particular angel, Muriel, and I'm like thinking this isn't true, you know, or whatever. And Alexa said, he's standing there going, I said, yeah, I figured it was hogwash too. So it was pretty cool. I was like so encouraged by that. So I was like, wow. You know, I was like wondering, I didn't directly ask the Lord or, you know, whatever, and this that just came to me. So that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to share that with y'all.
So you never did find out your angel's name?
Yeah, Muriel. M-U-R-I-E-L.
Okay. Muriel.
Yeah. So I was
what
correct.
Does that mean?
So just
mean?
Encourage you all to ask the Lord what your angel's name is. Oh, and she and Alexa then also told me, sorry, she also told me then, I asked her, well, what does he look like? And she said he has short brown curly hair, a little bit lighter than Angelica's hair, and he wears a white robe.
Just, Angelica just, doesn't have short brown hair.
No, color. Lighter than a little lighter than Angelica's hair.
Yeah, Angelica's got brown. Black hair. Long right. Black hair.
So anyway, so now I know what he looks like. Oh, and about okay. My skin, she said.
Does she call it brown? I ain't say no brown in it. That's black. That's black as tar.
Anyway.
Well, that's cool, Missy. The other day, I don't know if I told y'all, but the other day I was sitting in my lounge back here, and I said, you know something? My angel's name is Ariel. Ariel. And I said, Ariel, you know what? I'd like to see you. Boom. He was right there. he opened up. He's a big angel. He's got long white wings, and he's a big angel. I guess he had to be to follow me around. All right, anybody else? No, he's been good. Thank you, Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
You said your angel was named Ariel?
Yes. A-R-I-E-L.
I asked the Lord, what is my angel's name? And what came to me one day was Ariel with an A. And I thought, well, that's the bride in, where did I read that at? I read that in, I think Isaiah, Ariel. But anyways, that's what came to me. And it came like a couple other times. So I don't know.
Could be.
I mean, if I'm just thinking that. Yeah, with an A. Know.
Yeah, Ariel means Lion of God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I got, you know, there's more than one Michael in the world, too. Yeah, matter of fact, there are a whole lot more angels than there are people in the world. That's a bunch of angels. Okay, we're about out of time. Does anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we leave? Well, Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers, every one of them, Lord. We believe it. We're going to stand on it, too, until we see it manifested. But we already know it's manifested because we believe. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for getting us all a good night's sleep, the ones that are fixing to go. And for those that are fixing to do something else, Lord, be with them. Keep them from all kinds of harm in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, we'll see y'all again next time.